You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power Radio Program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for Brother Green. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. God, that you'd open up my spiritual comprehension. I want you to ask God that. Say, God, open up my spiritual comprehension, my spiritual understanding. And sometimes we don't understand why, you know, we do the things that we do in church. You may look around and it might not be familiar with you as far as why, you know, these people are praising God and worshiping God. And sometimes we don't understand. Amen. But there's a purpose. Oh, glory to God. There's a purpose in everything. We're making way for the King. Amen, somebody. Yes. Hallelujah. We ain't studying flesh.
Yes.
We ain't studying what our mind is thinking. Hallelujah. We're not focused on the time. We're focused on God.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. You know, if you focus on the time, you just might be carnal minded. Hallelujah. But we're singing to God. We sing everything else. Hallelujah. We jump in the car and turn the radio on. Amen, somebody. Turn the radio on and we start singing.
Yep.
Hallelujah. But guess what? Sing to the Lord. Minister. See, what we're doing, we're ministering back to God. Amen. We're ministering to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we want God to minister to us.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And so, Father, we thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your people. Make your face to shine upon your people. Be gracious unto your people today, God. I pray for forgiveness of sins. We want to shut every door. Hallelujah. That the enemy might not have access in this place to trick you, to bamboozle you. And so, Father, forgive us of sins, known and unknown. We pray in the name of Jesus. Let the church say, I agree.
I agree.
Oh, glory to God. And God, we thank you for giving the people ears to hear. Hallelujah. I want you to open your mouth and confess, I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you can't say it, something might be wrong with you. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Because how many want to hear what God has to say?
Yes.
Even I want to hear it myself.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Sometimes I go back and I'll listen to a message because guess what? I'm like, you know what? But there are times when people are calling me and saying, when you said this, somebody just called me recently and said, when you said that, like, did I say that? You know, I couldn't even remember what I said. Oh, glory to God. And so there's times that I got to go back and hear what's being preached and taught. But go to Isaiah 65 and 16. Isaiah 65 and 16. Thank God that my reader's back. Amen. Hallelujah. I missed the last week. I would have fired her, but she wasn't here, so she's back now. Ooh, glory to God. I was thinking to myself, I said, man, God dropped some good stuff on me, and she ain't here to read. Hallelujah. That's like...
Which verse am I saying?
I want somebody to get the Amplified version also, but Isaiah 65 and 16. Amen. Keeping in mind what Joshua, what you all were singing earlier, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Come on. What they're doing is that they're singing, somebody say, the word of God. They're declaring the word of God. They're decreeing the word. They're saying, I'm blessed. Oh, glory to God. You know, they're singing that in the midst. I don't care. Some of us might have left home and seem like all hell is broken out. Seem like we don't, you know, we're not probably in the place that we want to be. But yet they're opening their mouths and saying, I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Come on, I like to say I'm blessed when I'm laying down and I'm blessed when I'm rising up. Because you're really not making money till you start making money in your sleep. You start making money in your sleep, that's when you're really making money. But we're gonna find out what does God's word has to say. It says what?
Amen. Isaiah 65:16 in the Amplified, it says, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying.
He who invokes a blessing. You mean to tell me you can bless yourself?
Amen, amen.
You mean to tell me that you have the ability to open your mouth and bless yourself? What does the King James, James Version has to say?
It says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth.
In the God of truth. Oh, glory to God. So I can take the truth of God's word, open my mouth, and release a blessing upon myself. We spend so much time allowing perverse things, ungodly things, vain things coming out of our mouths, and we don't even know that we have the ability to do what? To bless yourself. With what? With the truth, with the word of God. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we're looking all outside of ourselves for somebody else to bless us. No, baby. The Lord set this thing up where you can bless yourself. Come on. With his word. Come on. He said, you shall do so by what? Saying. Saying. Well, guess what? I need to be asking you, what are you saying? What are we saying? Come on. What's coming out of your mouth every day? Because the Bible says as long as the earth remains, come on, there shall be seed time and harvest time. Come on, somebody. Your words, the words that come out of your mouth, come on, those are seed. Come on, we're glory to God. And some of us are eating from the harvest of what has come out of our mouths.
Jesus.
Trying to be nice about this thing. Sit down. Y'all can sit down. I did pray, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't be nice.
Well, guess what? There's some things that I'm living right now because that's my harvest.
Yes.
It's from seeds of words that I have sown, oh glory to God, a long time ago.
Yes.
And I'm seeing the manifestation of the seeds of what has come out of my mouth. Come on, let me say this here. If your life is jacked up,
speak your words.
Okay, all right. My wife said speak a different language. I'm about to give her the mic and tell her to come on up here and help me preach this thing. She'll probably do it. She was supposed to preach today anyways. I'm just saying. Hallelujah. Okay, and so, come on, she packing. Hallelujah. She had been packing. Well, anyways, she was asleep while I was up 3 o'clock this morning. Come on, she packing. I don't know how she packing when she was asleep. But I love my baby. I love her. I love my sweetie pie. So the Bible says seed time and harvest time, as long as the earth endures. Come on, somebody. It ain't going nowhere. So that lets me know that we got to be careful as to what type of seeds or what type of words somebody said are coming out of our mouths. Okay, all right. Let me say this here. Christian words matter. You know, we got all this here matter movement, all lives matter, black lives matter. No. Christian words matter. And the problem is that we're not speaking truth. We're quick to speak what Satan would have us to speak, or the language of the world. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Hebrews 11:3 says what, daughter?
It says by faith we understand.
Now let me say this here. When you start opening your mouth, come on, there are things that I speak, and I speak it by faith. I shared with everybody last Sunday. I was on my way to have breakfast. I realized I left my wallet Guess what? I didn't stay in the car. I got up out of the car, walked in the restaurant like I was supposed to be there. Come on. With my no wallet, no money self. I got in there. I sat down. Oh, glory to God. I think the menu was already... I might have had a menu. I can't remember. But guess what? Before I got out of the car, I opened my mouth and decreed in faith that I'm having breakfast this morning and that somebody was buying me breakfast. Oh, glory to God. Well, guess what? When the waitress came up and I said, you know what? I think I forgot my wallet. Someone across from me said, I'll buy his breakfast. Even the waitress said, I was going to buy your breakfast. Somebody across from me said, I'll buy his breakfast. And another table said, if they wouldn't have bought your breakfast, somebody else was going to buy your breakfast. Why? Why? Because when you get the revelation and understanding, oh glory to God, of how words work, how words affect the spirit realm. Come on. You don't, because some of us don't even understand that, guess what? You were created in what? The image of God and what? His likeness. You're like God. You're created in His image and you have a likeness to God. Okay. All right. And so if you like Him, you need to examine how God operates. You need to examine what God does. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Come on. He created the... I want to go even further, but I'm not going to. He created the heavens and the earth. Let me show you something. How did He do it? With words. By speaking it out of His mouth. By saying something. Come on, somebody. By saying something. By saying something. Tell somebody, say something. Say something. What are you saying? What are you saying? He created the universe, the first, second, and third heaven. Come on, somebody. Because some of your Bibles may say heaven, but some of your Bibles may say heaven. I mean, heaven, but some of your Bibles may say heavens, plural. So He's the creator. It's one of the first things He revealed about Himself. That's why you need to understand that the language you speak, God gave you words. Words are for communication, but it's also for creation. Your words create things. Come on. Your words create a plague in your life if you speak the wrong things. Come on. If you're running around always saying, I'm broke, I'm busted and disgusted, I'm in lack and this and this and this, then guess what? You're going to have what you say. That's your harvest. My God, you got that? Did you get that, bro? You got that? I can tell he got it. He went crazy. He went look like he was about to take off. Come on. That's your harvest. Come on. Somebody say, Lord, we cancel the words, every evil word. God, first off, repent. Lord, I repent. Oh, glory to God. Forgive me for allowing stupid stuff to come out of my mouth. Because some of us didn't realize that God, your God is a what? It's a spirit. He's a speaking spirit. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And when He says something, it is. It is. So guess what? Now you created in His image. He did say, greater work shall we do. So guess what? The same way that God... Okay, all right, let me help you out here. And I said this last week. Now, some of this stuff I wasn't planning on going back over. When we look in the Bible, when we look in the book of Genesis, you know, a lot of us read where God put Adam in the garden to tend the garden and to fix the garden up. That's true, He did. But a lot of us think that Adam was around there with all of that, you know, all of that big old giant garden. With a shovel, come on, with a rake, with a hoe, come on, with axes, tree. We think he was around there work. How many know the Bible says that Adam did not sweat? Adam did not toil. Come on, somebody. Until he sinned. Okay. He didn't toil until he sinned. So what was Adam doing to fix the garden up? He was speaking, oh glory to God, because you need to understand that guess what? He, just like God had power over creation, God spoke creation into existence. He was doing what God was doing. He was speaking. If He didn't want an apple tree over here, He would command that apple tree to come, and I want you to get over here. You roses, I want you to get around the apple tree. He would open His mouth and speak. He would do it by what? Saying. Somebody say, saying. Saying. What are you saying? Oh, glory to God. What is coming out of your mouth? So what happened? When he sinned, come on. Okay, all right. God put him out of the garden, but let me show you something. Okay, let me go there. Some of you all, God have to do you a favor because you don't know your identity. You don't know who you are. Come on, somebody. And so God, and God don't want you to say something stupid and mess yourself up for the rest of your life. And so he turns the power down in your mouth. That's why you wonder why when you say things, come on, when you say devastating things, when you say crazy things, come on, oh glory to God, you don't see it manifest. Why? Because the power is turned down in your mouth. And usually if the power is turned down in your mouth, that means that God don't trust your mouth. You got to get to a place in life, guess what, where God can turn the power up and keep it up. Come on, some of us even as preachers, oh glory to God, God turned the power up when we get behind the pulpit. Come on, somebody. But then some preachers, he got to even turn the power down, okay, when they get from behind the pulpit.
Jesus.
So God has to, somebody say, God has the switch, the knob. God has the power knob. Oh, glory to God. Why? Until you mature, until you grow up, come on, somebody, until you watch what's coming out of your mouth. Okay? Because, let me say this, God. Some of us, you just put yourself in one category. You just look at yourself as a Christian. Oh, glory to God. Well, you're a son. But you're also the army of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We just look at ourselves as sheep. You know, we know that, you know, the Bible makes reference to the Lamb of God, Jesus being the Lamb of God. But sometimes we only got him in one category because he's a lion also. Because, you know, I was listening to a guy one day and he would literally make it sound like we're not supposed to fight. And I'm sitting there, saying to myself, we fight. We just fight with words.
Right.
You know, you hear something like, oh, I don't see nowhere in the Bible we were told to fight. Oh, yeah, we were told to fight with words. When you see Jesus doing combat with the devil, oh, glory to God, what's going on there? The devil says something?
Yes. Jesus
says. Then Jesus says something.
Yep.
Then the devil says something?
Yes.
Jesus, and every time Jesus would say something, he would say, it is written. Because you can't mess with it is written. You can't mess with the truth. Come on, somebody. You can't mess with the word. The Bible says the word of God is established for whatever.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
It's
established. It ain't going nowhere. The devil can't do nothing with it. Oh, glory to God. And after they exchanged words several times, the devil had to flee. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, the devil don't want you to know this because guess what? He wants to manage and keep on managing and controlling your life. And speaking of the whole body of Christ, some of us are allowing him to do it. We're allowing him to control and dictate to our lives. Tell somebody we're an army.
We're an army.
I just believe that God is waking up his people. God is teaching our hands how to war. Come on, somebody. You know, some of us have been in the body of Christ for years and we don't know how to war. We don't know how important words are. I was dealing with a customer and she talked. You know, talks about Christ, talked about going to church. So, you know, my assumption is that, you know, she's a Christian and stuff. But she said, the doctor said that I'm going to have this all for the rest of my life. And, you know, I jump right in there and I'm like, no, you don't have to have that for the rest of your life. And I begin to tell her about the goodness of God and even how important it was to, you know, to watch what was coming out of her mouth and et cetera, et cetera. And she sounded like she was getting it. She sounded like she was all into it. And then next thing you know, she goes in another section of the shop. And next thing you know, I heard her in there again boasting about, I got to have this for the rest of my life. I said, boy, she didn't learn a thing. Come on. Instead of saying something like, I'm healed by his stripes, she was willing to confess that She's going to be plagued with this for the rest of her life. And to go around, keep on telling everybody, I'm going to be plagued with this the rest. Glory to God. So guess what? Now the devil got a right to do what he's doing because of what's coming out of her mouth. And she can be healed, but somebody else's faith got to heal her. All right. I'm going to say that again. She could be healed, but somebody else's faith got to do it. Because her faith is in what the doctor had to say. Her faith is in the words that the doctor had to say. Glory to God. Somebody say the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
There was a young man, and he was singing this rap song, and it had something to do with time. I can't remember how the lyrics were going, and he was another customer. And I said, the devil loved the fact that you're saying those words and singing those words, because guess what? He wants to dictate your time and waste your time. I mean, I know that a lot of us in here, the enemy has wasted our time. Oh, glory to God. Time is something you can't get back unless the Lord redeems the time. God can speed things up for you and cause things to happen a whole lot faster than what it would in the norm. Come on, somebody. But I told him, I said, you know, you got to stop saying these words. I said, it sound good, but I said, you saying these words is giving the enemy access to control your life and your time. Oh, glory to God. And then next thing you know, you're 40, you're 50, and you're still living that. You're acting like a thug, acting like you were when you were 20 years old. Why? Because you've been out there and you've been lost in time. And have not accomplished anything. Oh, glory to God. What does the Bible say in the book of Acts? 20 and 32.
It says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
He says, I'm commending you. Some Bibles may say commit. I'm commending you to God. I'm commending you to God and what?
The word of his grace.
The word of his grace. What is grace? What is grace? It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the help of God. The ability of God. The source of God. Some of us, you know, we quote the scripture, we're saved by grace through faith. Well, we ought to find out what grace is. It's God's help for you. To help you to live this life. Come on, somebody. To help you to get ahead. And so he says, I'm commending you to God and what?
The word of his grace.
So he's commending or committing you to God and to his word. Come on. And there's grace upon that word to help you out. Read.
Which is able to build you up.
So the word can build you up.
Yep.
The word can build you up. Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
I'm not saying it, but the Bible says it. You using the right words can build you up.
Yes.
But you using the wrong words can tear you down. You using the wrong words can tear your life up. Come on, somebody. Actuary Fox, he's in the group.
Yes, it's able to build you up,
uh-huh.
Give you an inheritance.
And give you an inheritance. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, did y'all get that? What you speak out of your mouth, the truth that you speak out of your mouth, will help you to receive your inheritance. Some of y'all, you're like, well, you know, hey, I've been serving the Lord for, you know, such and such. I haven't seen my inheritance or that things that I'm waiting on. Sometimes God is waiting on our mouths to get right. Your mouth can build you up and help you to receive your inheritance. Or your mouth can delay your inheritance. Your mouth can stop your inheritance. The children of Israel out in the wilderness, what do they say? They say, oh, it's giants in the land. Y'all tricked us. We ain't going in there and such. And God gave them what they said. He said, you brought our children out here to be devoured and they going to kill us and such. And so guess what? God didn't allow them in the promised land. And they stayed out there and wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. It came out of their mouth. Do you know the Bible says that you are a king and a priest unto God? Okay, all right. Some of us don't even know that we're kings. How many know the Bible says he's king of what? He's king of kings. Well, who are the kings? Point to yourself. He's king of kings. Tell somebody, I'm a king. Look at him. You are a king. You might not know it. Let me say this here. If you're born again, you're a king. Now, sometimes some of us as kings, and I believe it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, are living beneath our means. Because guess what? The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, said, I've seen princes on foot and slaves on horses. And he called that what? Evil.
Yes.
It should be the other way around.
Yes.
Okay, alright. So you're a king.
Yes.
You're a king. You're a priest. The Bible says you are a king and a what? Priest unto who? Unto God. Now, what does kings do? What does kings do?
Decree.
Rule.
Take authority.
What else do they do?
Decree.
They decree. They say things. See, we live in a democracy. Oh, glory to God. Not a what? Monarchy. Monarchy or whatever. Right? But you need to understand that.
Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is VIPMinistries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. If the final few weeks of May were any indication, this June's Pride Month noise will be even louder and edgier than normal. Already, the controversy surrounding Target's new line of clothing, produced in partnership with a clothing company that literally also produces clothing to celebrate Satanism, has dominated the nation's headlines. Incredulously, most mainstream media outlets and even a few so-called Christian ones have painted those who are concerned about children being groomed and not the corporate and activist entities doing the grooming as the bad guys here. However, given the financial hit that Target's already taken, there seem to be plenty of people not fooled by the narrative. Then, of course, there's the strange tale of the LA Dodgers. After a rather public back and forth, the Major League Baseball team decided to indeed platform an LGBTQ organization known for its hyper-sexualized performances that openly blaspheme Jesus and mock Christian symbolism. Such mockery would never be tolerated if directed at most other religious groups, but in a culture lost in what might be called a critical theory mood, even the most extreme acts are seen through the lens of predetermined cultural groupings that have already been given moral status. Not only did the Dodgers organization backpedal their initial reversal, the so-called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will now be given some kind of Community Heroes Award. In response to all of this craziness, Christians have to do at least two things. First, we can and we should protest, both with our voices and with our pocketbooks. Both Dodgers players and Target shoppers will now need to think through where the line of complicity is. And second, we must proclaim a better way, always. And one of Chuck Colson's closest colleagues and collaborators has an idea that's definitely worth our consideration. Quote, by the authority vested in me by absolutely no one, Professor Robert George of Princeton University wrote in an email last week, I've declared June to be Fidelity Month, a month dedicated to the importance of fidelity to God, to spouses and families, to our country and communities, end quote. Perhaps the leading Christian legal thinker of our lifetime, Professor George worked closely with Chuck Colson and Timothy George back in 2009 on the Manhattan Declaration, a statement of Christian conscience on the areas of life, marriage, and religious liberty. So it only makes sense that George would now suggest